Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
At low 0.9% for up to 60 months is available.
No payments till May.
Brought in truckloads of new vehicles.
Cars.
No money down with the tax program.
Some sales are just too big for one weekend.
Here's a couple of things America got right. Cars and freedom.
Yeah, it's that time of the week again. Today we continue our October series on cars with Michelle Krebs, senior analyst at Edmunds.com, editor-in-chief of AutoObserver.com. And with all that jargon from those spots, all that massive information out there about buying a new car or a used car or even leasing, we're going to be tackling buying a car today, new or used. And listeners, there are few things more cutthroat and uncomfortable than renting or buying an apartment in the tri-state area, but buying a car may be one of them. So we want your questions for Michelle Krebs, senior analyst at Edmunds and editor-in-chief of Auto Observer. We invite your questions if you just bought a car, have a tip, thinking about it, have a question, 212-433-WNYC. This segment is for you, 212-433-9692. Cautionary tales, advice, tips, 212-433-9692. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
If you were going to buy a used car today, let's start there. Where would you go? There are obviously used car dealers, but there are also private sellers just selling their cars on Craigslist, whatever. And then there are car auctions and even online sites.
Absolutely. I mean, there are all kinds of places to go. Private owners are by far the where most of the used car sales take place. I should add, right now, used car prices are very high. So, and this is because new cars sales have been low in the last few years. So, you know, new cars turn into used cars. And we've also seen, you know, a lack of inventory from some of the Japanese automakers. So people are turning to used vehicles.
We even saw an article in the journal or a reference in the Wall Street Journal that in some cases certain models of used cars are going for more than their new equivalents. Is that possible?
Well, we always have on our site, Edmunds.com, a place called New versus Used, and we look at new car prices, and we factor in, you know, what incentives are on vehicles or whatever. And in some cases, you're better off buying new than used because you can get better financing rates or there's good incentives on them. So it's counterintuitive. You'd think that automatically a used car is less than a new, but that's not always the case.
That's amazing. Some people have an understanding or an assumption that individual sellers, just, you know, your neighbor down the block or somebody who's got a sign in their windshield who's selling their car, is more trustworthy than a dealer, because who's considered more of a con artist or a shark than a used car dealer stereotypically? But is that true?
Well, not necessarily, because the first thing I would do if I were going to consider a private owner sale, I would do all the same kind of research. I mean, look up on sites like Edmunds.com what that vehicle is worth. I would also be very careful to get a history of that vehicle. Carfax is one of the services that you can find out the whole history if it's been in an accident, how many owners it's had, all that kind of thing. So I would do all the same kind of work that I would do. Now, the one thing that a dealer may be able to offer is a warranty, a better warranty. They have programs called certified pre-owned programs where you get a warranty much like you would on a new car, and they guarantee, they do all kinds of inspections, so they guarantee a certain level of quality.
So that actually means something. Certified pre-owned, I think, is my favorite expression in all of commercialdom. I think certified pre-owned, what does that mean? They're guaranteeing that this car was used?
Well, they're guaranteeing it meets a certain quality level.
Yeah.
It's passed a certain amount of inspection. And, you know, you can get some nice deals. I recently helped my daughter buy a certified pre-owned, and she got a really nice deal with, and you know, maintenance for the next couple of years. It turned out to be a better deal than the new.
Here's Ken in Jersey City with a question about Carfax. Hi, Ken. You're on WNYC.
Hello. Actually, you've already answered my question about Carfax. And is AutoCheck also accurate?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Is AutoCheck also accurate?
I'm not familiar with all the services and can't certify whether, you know, one is better than the other. But there are, I mean, I use Carfax as an example. There are other services. And sometimes if you go to a dealer, sometimes they offer you that service for free. You don't have to, like, you can go online and put a VIN number in and you pay a fee to find the history of the vehicle. But sometimes if you're negotiating with a dealer on a used car, they'll throw that into the deal.
Ken, thank you very much. Bala in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. I want to go buy a car tomorrow. They don't have it here in Manhattan, so I wonder what kind of, option I have for, like, negotiation. It's not going to be a list. It's going to be just check, 1, 2, 3, cash. No list, no nothing.
You mean you're going to go to a dealership in New Jersey? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because they don't have it here in New York, in Manhattan. I went there. They don't have it.
They don't have and a particular car that you're looking for?
They tell me it's going to take like 3 to 4 months to get the car.
Oh, really? So what's your question?
I mean, if I go to negotiate, if you're buying cash or like it's nothing less, if you're able to get option more like discounts or anything.
Right, like I see. Yeah, and you know, this is a question that I think everybody has, Michelle, and that is how much can you negotiate the price of a new car at a dealership?
Well, here's what I would do. You know, I sound like I'm plugging our site, aren't I? If you go on a site like Edmunds.com, like I work for, you will find what generally people are paying. We at Edmunds, we gather in all of the transaction data from dealers all over the country. We have something like 60% of all the deals, and we get it on a weekly, daily basis, actually. And we calculate what price generally people are paying. So I would use that as a starting point for negotiations.
All right.
There isn't a certain percentage high or low or whatever, and it totally varies by model. You know, how hot is that model, that kind of thing. So, you know, I would look at what are people typically paying.
Baller, good luck out there. My guest, Michelle Krebs, joining us once a week in October to talk about cars in Greater New York. Today on buying cars, new or used. By the way, this is a good time to buy 2011 models, isn't it? Because the 2012s are just coming out this time of year, and the 2011s, even though they're new, get marked down, or is that a myth?
It's true, although this is a very odd year. There probably are not a lot of 2011s left, because what happened was the earthquake in Japan in March really shut down. It caused a lot of production disruptions of supplier plants there and some of the assembly plants. So if you're shopping for a Japanese import, especially from Toyota or Honda, you're going to have a really hard time finding anything because they just have had no inventory coming into the country for a few months, and it's just starting to get back to normal. So I would say that's generally true, but this is a very oddball year.
Kieran in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kieran.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I just bought my second car, helped my daughter buy a car on Hertz Rent-A-Buy. It's a fabulous program. You go online, you pick out the car you want, you rent it for 3 days. If you like it, you don't pay for the rental, and you just send them a check and you keep the car. And it's fabulous.
So it worked out well for you.
Fabulous. It really was good. I got a Kia Optima last year for my other daughter, and this year got a Nissan Altima, and beautiful cars.
Thank you. Michelle, what do you think about buying these rental cars
well,
in
I
general?
Well, I did exactly that.
You
I did,
did
it through a dealer, but it came from a rental fleet. I mean,
but people rent cars, and they, you know, drive them like maniacs and leave their trash wrappers all over the seats and stuff because they don't own the car.
Maybe, but that's not always the case. I mean, and if it goes to a dealer, it goes, you know, Hertz and Enterprise and all of the rental car companies, you can actually buy their vehicles when they, you know, are taken off the road. And you can get some nice deals. I did.
All right. David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem at all. I'd say the single most important thing in buying a car, whether it be new or used, is to do so dispassionately. I saw sold cars for a number of years, and the thing that, you know, the upper edge that I always got as the salesman was when someone loved the car and was not looking at it in a methodical fashion. You know, the cars are commodities. There's no one car that the average person drives that is all that unique. So if one dealer has it, another dealer has it. And if you walk into a dealer and say, I must have that car, you're going to get raked over the coals.
You are absolutely right. You must be willing to walk away from the deal if you're going to get the best deal possible.
But if you say approach it methodically, David, what's the method other than just being able to walk away from a bad deal?
Understand what features you want in the vehicle. Understand that, you know, a Ford is going to have a lot of the same features as a Chevy. Don't tie yourself to a specific make, model, mileage, or year, or color for that matter. Again, it's a car is a tool. It's a commodity. It's not, you know, it's not a house. You know, you don't have to love your car, because the fact is, whether you buy, you know, a Yugo or you buy a Cadillac, it's still four wheels and a motor, and you know, everything else is a bonus. So understand what exactly you want feature-wise. Understand how much you're prepared to spend maintaining the car, which determines how old of a car or how much mileage you have on that car.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the older and the higher mileage, you'll spend more maintenance over the lifetime of your vehicle. And, you know, be flexible.
David, thank you very much. I appreciate the
insider's view
there. He
said exactly the word I would, Brian. Be flexible.
And he kind of, you know, it's funny for a car dealer, because he de-romanticized the car, right? He said, no matter what kind of car it is, ultimately, it's a motor on four wheels.
Well, and it, you know, for many, many people, it is an appliance to go from here to there. I mean, there's a segment of the population that's madly in love with cars and madly in love with certain kinds of cars. Those are the ones car dealers love because they have to have it. But, you know, for the vast majority of people, it is an appliance.
Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com and AutoObserver.com joining us once a week in October to talk about cars in Greater New York today, buying new or used. And I think we got a reader on the line of one of your sites, Nicholas in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Nick.
Hi, my name's Nicholas. Sorry, from Park Slope. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question has to do with the reliability of used cars. I understand that over the last 7 to 10 years, all cars are so much more reliable that it's substantially less of a factor when you look at buying a used car. So a car that's rated below average compared to an average reliability car, really for the owner, does not have that big a difference. I just wanted to see if that's true and what your opinion is.
That's a great question.
It is a good question, and he's absolutely right. I mean, one of the reasons we're seeing car sales not grow like, you know, the industry would like is that the average vehicle on the road today is, I think it's 10.7 years old. It's just under 11, the highest ever. And I think that speaks extremely well to the quality and reliability. And yes, we are seeing in things like J.D. Power surveys and consumer reports, the margin between, you know, the very best and the next best and whatever is just minuscule. I guess
the era of the Edsel, or the possibility of the Edsel, is gone.
Yeah, I mean, yes, there are recalls about that. What, you know, but on the other hand, that has also changed quite a bit, because after the Toyota recalls, manufacturers are very quick to react to any kind of problem they see.
You know, pretty much all our callers, and I mean, looking at the board here, as okay, just hear the names on the board: Alan, Bob, Juan, Nick, Ken, John. So they're all men, and.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between how men and women buy cars? I understand there's a new website which launched just a few days ago with perhaps the unfortunate name of vroomgirls.com, and it's a car buying website for women. What do you think about that? Are there different considerations for men and women?
Well, I think it varies by I would say women generally view it more as much more methodical, research more, more of a very practical purchase. There is a segment of the population.
Really? And men are like, oh, check out these speakers.
I mean, they can. There's a part. I hate to generalize like that because, you know, that's not totally true. But there is a segment of the population that's they're much more interested in the passion and the romance around a vehicle.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe because I pointed out who our callers were, Lisa in the Bronx just called up. So, Lisa, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have an unbelievable strategy to get the best possible price for an automobile. I recently purchased an automobile, and my strategy is very simple and straightforward. When you meet the dealer, you have to have an idea what your monthly payments will be for the vehicle of your choice. Let's say, for example, the vehicle that you're interested in would cost you $213 monthly, realistically. You tell the dealer that you want to pay $250 a month, all the while knowing that $213 would be the actual monthly payments at a 5% interest rate, for example.
Right.
The dealer will do everything possible to negotiate the best possible price for the car. He'll go back to his manager, he'll come back, and what you want to do is stand firm on how much you want to pay, all the while making him lower the price of the vehicle. What happens in the end, when you sit across the manager and when you sit to actually put together the numbers, the dealer will try to sell you an extended warranty, which, by the way, they do all the time anyway. That's the trick of buying, and this is a used car, by the way.
This is just brilliant. And, Lisa, I have to leave it there because we're flat out of time. But, Michelle Krebs, I think after that, you want to hire Lisa as a columnist.
Well, the only thing I would be careful of is you can get the monthly payment down by extending it to 60. I mean, I've had this experience, 60 months, 72 months. Do you really want to do that?
That's one way. But if you say over X years, then maybe you can continue to drive your terms down. And what about the last thing she said? We have 15 seconds left. Extended warranties. Do you like them?
Not particularly. The automakers offer, pretty good warranties. I guess I wouldn't be necessarily in favor of that.
Michelle Krebs, senior analyst at Edmunds.com, editor-in-chief of AutoObserver.com, coming on with us to talk cars in Greater New York every week in October. Talk to you next week. Thanks. Great segment.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
The Houston sky was changeless. We galloped through blue bonnets. I was wrestling with an angel. You were working on a sonnet. You said, I believe the seraphim will gather up my pendo and carry me away, Jim, across the San Jacinto. My ride's here.